Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, hey there, and welcome to Metal Wraps number 30. I am Mitch Joel, and as always, I am joined by Talking Metal's Mark Striegel.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you? And, of course, we are with one-on-one with Mitch LaFon's Mitch LaFon. Mitch.
The one and only. Yes, good day. Welcome back. It's been a while.
It's been too long, but we are here because there are lots of things happening in the metal world. Let's start it off with Axl Rose and AC/DC. So the band has been on the road. They've done multiple shows. There's countless stuff happening on YouTube that people can see and check out. There is myself readily admitting that I'm surprised at how good Axl sounds, even when he was sitting down, but now he seems to be hobbling around, so he's up and about. Band sounds good. I think there are moments where they sound a little less than good. I still can't reconcile if I like this or I don't like this. I'm sort of in a space where, you know, if it's not Brian at this point, at their age, at their legacy, and they just have another singer, and I don't know. But on the other hand, Axl sounds really good singing those songs, Mitch.
Yeah, and of course, Axl is not just another singer. Had they gone to, you know, some kind of tribute band guy or something, then okay, you'd have a point. But it's Axl Rose, and he sounds great. They absolutely need, at least for me, to put out a live CD or a live DVD of this and capture the moment forever, because most of the world is not going to get to actually see a show. So we need a memento. And he's been sounding great. In fact, I hope he stays forever with them. And, of course, does the GNR.
Mark, what do you think of this?
Yeah, I think no doubt the clips I've seen. Axl sounds great. I think Mitch, Joel, you and I were even, or maybe it was Mitchell, one of you guys, we were talking off, online about sometimes Angus's guitar parts are a little choppy, I've noticed, especially yeah. On the beginning of... Thunderstruck. Yeah,
he cannot, you and I were going at it.
Yeah, he cannot handle that riff anymore. He has some real problems with that. And also I've noticed the solo at Dirty Deeds. He has, when they do that hammer on pull off thing at the end of the Dirty Deeds solo, the signature kind of chromatic climb up the fretboard there. He has issues with that too. Having said that, all in all, I think they sound great, and Axl is a great and special, as you mentioned, Mitch LaFon, addition. You know, this is just isn't anybody. Obviously, it's Axl Rose. I think even beyond the music, it's interesting for him to not be the alpha male of a band. You know, and he, from what I can tell, is showing up to the shows on time. They're not going on at midnight every night, and it's he's kind of just like the fill-in guy in AC/DC, and he's taking it real seriously and showing respect to Angus and the AC/DC legacy. So I think that's kind of cool. And the other little cool thing is, you know, here's a guy who's given like three interviews in 20 years. We're getting an Axl interview every couple of weeks now, it seems like, you know, and I think that's fun to hear Axl talk, because when he does get in front of the mic or in front of with a reporter or with a group, he is a real animated and interesting guy to listen to.
Okay, but let's unpack two components of this. Is it reasonable, regardless of who the singer is, for AC/DC to go out as AC/DC without Brian at this phase in the career? I mean, let's ask. I'm curious. Cause yes. That's the one with me where I'm like, I don't know at this point. I don't know.
Yeah. Yes, yes, and yes. I mean, I've always said it. Bands are brands, and you know, it's like baseball. It just because Babe Ruth isn't a Yankee anymore doesn't mean the Yankees aren't the Yankees. It's fine. It's always better to have the original members, the people that made the magic. But you know, you go see a Foreigner show, you go see a Kiss show, you go see whoever, they've got new guys, and so what? The music lives on. I'm not going to quibble about Brian or this guy or that guy. It's the songs we like. They're being played well. There you go. It's a brand. I'm happy. Thank you.
Yeah. Mark, you good with it?
Yeah. Yes. And I like the ridiculousness of it. You know, that they're out there doing it, and it really, you know, it's, you know, Angus is there. Cliff is there, who is, you know, maybe not an original member, but he's been a part of the band since Power Age or even before. I can't remember, but, you know, it works for me, and I think AC/DC is going to be one of those bands, as long as you have the guy with the schoolboy outfit there up there, the iconic figure of the band. It's gonna work, and people are going to show up. And in my opinion, they're still going to fill arenas and probably even stadiums. I mean, I saw them at Giant Stadium, and the thing that people forget, and I've had this happen at a Kiss show in the last 2 years. I had this happen at the opening night of Guns N' Roses in Las Vegas. You know, somebody at a Kiss show pointed to Tommy Thayer and tapped me on the shoulder. This is a guy in the fourth row. He obviously either knew somebody or had a lot of money for his ticket. And he said, "Do you know that guy? I just found out that's not even Ace," he said to me. You know, so this is, people don't, they aren't all these crazy maniacs like us who are,
like us, yeah,
right. They don't care. And you know, the soccer moms, the college student, you know, casual,
well, just
fan,
the average fan. They see the name on the marquee, fan, and that's what they go for. Yeah, of course.
Okay, so
yeah. And if Yannick Gertz can be an Iron Maiden, Axl can be an AC/DC.
Yeah. Okay, so well, that's my second question: is do you feel at all like it isn't necessarily AC/DC or the sound of AC/DC, but more like a tribute to, or AC/DC with a guest lead singer versus it being AC/DC? Because that is a lot of the sentiment you get online, which is Axl's doing great, yes, but it still feels like a tribute / cover band versus AC/DC. Is that because it's just new, because it's Axl? Is it just because it's Axl such a big celebrity on his own that there? And look, let's face it also, it's not like Axl has joined AC/DC. Right. He's just doing some gigs with them. So that's the other part of it too, where I don't disagree with what you're saying. People come, people go. But this isn't like Axl joined AC/DC and is the new singer. It's just a guy there for now.
Right, but they've been saying the exact same thing since Bon Scott died. As soon as he died, they went, oh, it's an AC/DC tribute. We've heard that for 40 years. So, you know. So what?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I prescribe to that sentiment. Yeah,
I've heard it. People have said that. I mean, yeah.
I think people love. I think people have a sort of Bon Scott, Brian Johnson, the same way they have the whole Sammy Hagar, David Lee Roth thing.
Sure.
But I don't think it's that Brian was a guest.
I mean, Brian Back in Black is not only the best-selling AC/DC record, it's one of the best-selling records ever. It's up there with Thriller, and it sold more than Hotel California. I think it sold more than Fleetwood Mac Rumors at this point. It's one of the best-selling records ever. So I think he had, you know, cemented his place in AC/DC history with that.
No, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Brian. I love the albums he's made with the band. But there are those sort of purists that say, well, since it wasn't Bon Scott, it's been nothing. Right. You know, I don't feel that way. In fact, I only started liking them when Brian came in the band. But, you know, of course, listen, I was 11 years old in 1980, so there's a reason why I only started liking them with him in the band. Anyway.
So with that, other recent news that really was a huge gut punch to many, me for sure, because of my love for Megadeth's Rust in Peace, was the very sudden, scary passing of drummer Nick Menza. Just I mean, a beast on the drums. I feel like that lineup of Megadeth for the Rust in Peace, which was Junior Dave Ellison, Dave Mustaine, Nick Menza, and of course Marty Friedman, to me was like there might be something here that might actually help Mustaine achieve the macro goal, which I think for him was to always be on par or greater than Metallica. Still to this day, I think one of my top 10 Desert Island metal albums, Rust in Peace. Really scary. In fact, I think I found out about it on your feed, Mitch Lafon. I texted you like, "What? What's going on here?"
Yeah, I knew somebody that was actually at the show, and they sent me a message and said, "You won't believe this." And I was like, "Oh." And I thought it was sort of a hoax and whatever. And then the report started trickling in slowly but surely. And, you know, just incredibly sad. You know, I interviewed Nick earlier in the year, and he was sounding great and he was sounding positive, and he had plans to do this band and that band. And, wow, you know, it just hits you. And it's so preventable what he had.
What did he have, Mitch?
Well, eventually they said it was a massive coronary, so a massive heart attack, and it was just because he hadn't been taking care of himself. And, you know, some clean living, some exercise and stuff, he could have, you know, getting to the doctor more regularly, could have added another 15, 20 years to his life. And there you go, it's gone.
And I know, Mark, you, similar to me, you had a deep love for that lineup of Megadeth as well, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, and it's just a major loss, and... yeah, you know, my wife is really, you know, I don't know. Actually, my I really like the first three Megadeth albums are my favorite. So my wife is really into the era that included Nick, probably more so than I am. But yeah, I regardless, you can't deny what he was a part of and how great it was and what a major loss it is to the metal community. And you know, he was just a part of the legacy. And, you know, it's scary because we're losing all these people, you know, just over and over. And this is, you know, Nick wasn't a young guy, but he wasn't really.
No, that's not old. 50. He's just 51.
Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, 5-6 years older than me. And that's, I don't know. This freaks me out. You know, it's far too young to go. And, you know, I can't imagine myself checking out in 5 years, you know, it's just crazy. So yeah, it hits home definitely on numerous levels.
You also see the tears of media in this, and it's one of the things that sort of always strikes me. There are certain musicians that had such a huge influence on me when I was younger and the music they created. Jimmy Bain, you know, bass player for Dio, who passed away as well this year, is another one of them. We talked about Jimmy before. And it just like these, I don't want to downplay their legacies as these sort of second, third, fourth tier celebrities, but it is what they are. It's not that these people aren't household names. They're people who have somewhat fallen through the cracks, even of their own genre that they had done so well. And it's also very, it's very humanizing to me when it happens. Cause it's one thing when it's a Prince or a David Bowie or a huge name. Again, the sort of first tier celebrities that get a lot of media, and you see this comes and goes, and it's almost like this weird blip where it's just like a couple of posts on Facebook and then it's off into anonymity. And it's, I don't know, it's always very awakening for me of how like, you know, if you're not a massive celebrity also, it's a rough gig out there.
Probably a little bit like when Eric Carr passed away, you know.
Same, yeah. I was just watching his biography last night, yeah.
Yeah, and if I can throw out one thing to you, Mitch Joel, is Gordon Downey from Tragically Hip, who just announced that he had brain cancer and all, and, you know, they're doing this. You have a personal connection with that story. Mark, do you know the Tragically Hip at all down in the States?
I know the name. I don't know.
I think they only trickled into Buffalo versus the sort of New York, New Jersey. But, I mean, a huge arena rock band up here in Canada, one of those sort of seminal rock bands. And announced he's got terminal brain cancer, and they're still going to do a final tour this summer. And it's like, you know, four nights at the massive hockey arenas up here, like the big arenas, totally selling out. Crazy story. My story is just that in early days of interviews, so we're talking late 80s, my second or third interview, just walked into a club told about this band, The Tragically Hip. You know, they were new. I was newish, and it was an interesting story, to the point where the manager, who I'm still friends with, their ex-manager now, he actually remembers meeting me back. This is a straight. We sort of had coffee the other week. He's like, "I remember you walking in. I remember you were on." It's a crazy story, but there's a lot. Like you said, there's a lot of this happening when we get older. As we get older, and to me, it was again that sort of blip of how fast Jimmy Bain just came and went in the media, and how fast Nick Menza came and went in the media. That it's disappointing to me, because I recognize their musical contributions, obviously more than the mass media will.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. And the dichotomy with The Tragically Hip that I noticed real, concretely, was a couple of years ago, they were playing at the Bell Center in Montreal. And the next night, their gig was at the Northern Lights in Clifton Park, New York, which is a club of about 300 people. So they went from 18,000 to 300 in a 24-hour period on a tour. And I was just like, wow, okay. I guess nobody knows them here. So.
That's how it rolls, yeah. Last thing I want to talk about before we get to our picks is Dokken. So I'm going to throw this to Mitch LaFont to tell the story, because how did this become your scoop?
Well, I speak to three of the members very regularly. And the news of them going to Japan later in the fall has been floating around. And I got this interview with Mick Brown, and at the beginning of the interview, before the interview starts, I should say, I get him on the phone and I say, "Listen, I'm going to ask you questions that are going to sort of, are you going to do a reunion? Because we know you are, but if I don't ask the question, people are going to say, like, why didn't you ask him that question? But, be careful how you answer it, because management and this wants you to not say anything." And we get to that part of the interview, and say, I said, "Hey, any chance of you ever reuniting?" And he goes, "Yeah, of course." It's just like, ugh. So, I phoned management, I phoned the other guys, and I said, "Listen, he went with this, and I want to put this interview out because, I have content to provide. I have a show." And they said, "Okay, can you hold on to it? Can you hold on to it? Can you hold on?" So I held on to it for probably about 3 weeks, and I finally got the word. Everybody has signed the contracts. The ink is dry. It's going to happen. Go ahead. And I put it out there, and of course, next thing you know, every site has picked it up. And a lot of the sites went with Dokken's reuniting, and some of them went with some of the other stuff that Mick said. Well, like, I don't think we really need those guys, but hey, the money's too good, so we're going to do it anyway. And it was like, oh, well, okay.
Yeah, but saw Dokken the day before, the day of. As that was breaking, I was watching Dokken play, actually, because I remember looking down at my phone, and they were up on stage, and seeing Mitch's story start to just spread like wildfire. And if I could just throw in my own opinion, I would love to see Jeff, George, Don, and Mick on stage again in the States. And no big disrespect towards John and whoever the bass player is. I can't remember.
No, I mean they're a great band right now.
John's a great player, but in some ways he just nails the George Lynch solos. I mean, they're so spot on when they do the older Doc and stuff. However, and it was a good show, and I enjoyed it, and John's a great guitar player. But I'd love to see the real thing. I mean, it's just nothing like the sound of Lynch's guitar up there on stage, and just the emotional connection of seeing all those to my past, and of what a fan I was as a kid is always major too. So I really would love to see this in the States, and hope that it happens.
I say bring back Reb Beach. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mark, a little bit with Mitch too, because I like Reb. I think Reb's great. No,
that's awesome.
Reb's great in Whitesnake Winger. You can't get him wrong. But I'm with you because I think there's a couple things that have always been a part of Dokken, as far as I remember them. One is, I think you are bang on with just the sound and timbre of George Lynch. We can put a million metal guitarists out there, and someone could put on George Lynch and you'd be like, boom, I know exactly who that player is. And it's very rare in a genre where you have people who've got that distinctive of a sound. So there's one thing where lots of guitarists have tried to even replicate what this guy can do with the fretboard, and he's a master, and I completely agree with you. The second part that I think goes unnoticed is this is a band that always had tension. There was always this weird someone's fighting with somebody, someone's mad at someone, a beer bottle could get thrown at any minute. It wasn't that sort of la-di-da glammy type of band ever. I mean, it really was. Out of the gates, there was always that. And I don't know, for me over the years, there was always something with it. Like, it was a half joke. Someone left. Someone's been replaced. Oh, they're in Dokken. They're not in Dokken. And then there was the reunions where it's like, oh, it's not as good as Under Lock and Key or whatever it might be. But to me, those two components are actually components of what makes the band interesting to me.
Right.
It's both that sound of the guitar and the tension. And I'm not diminishing Don's vocals. I think he's also got one of the most unique voices in the genre. And
Mick Brown, you know.
Yeah, Jeff Wilson's amazing in Foreigner. He's an amazing musician.
Mick Brown's drumming style is so distinctive and unique. And when I was watching them play live, whatever it was, three weeks ago, I guess, I was just like, yeah, you know, no one plays drums like that. He's not Mike Portnoy. He's not Neil Peart, but he's got a style that most people don't have. So,
It's never been about being technically proficient, by the way. You know, you take Neil Peart and throw him in Kiss, and it's just not going to work.
For many reasons.
Yeah, people have their places in their bands, but the one story from the Dokken one that I'll say before we get off of this is one time backstage, one of the guys said to me, when George left and Reb came in, Don went over to him and said, you know, you'll never be George, but... And then when Reb left and John Norum came in, he went over to John Norum and said, you'll never be Reb Beach, but... And so I've always thought that was a funny story of how Don greets the guitarists as they come in by saying, you'll not be the guy that was here before you, but all right, we'll work with you.
Hence the tension.
Right. And you know what? Listen, that could be an entirely made-up wives' tale, but it was told to me, and I've always thought it was a cute story, so I keep it and I use it when it's necessary. So there you go.
That's awesome. So before we bail on the show, let me hear what you guys have been listening to. I'll start with you, Mitch LaFon.
Oh, you are going to be very surprised by this. First of all, I have been listening to an abundance of Thunder, the band Thunder. But
Love Thunder.
Love Thunder. You know, they're great. They do metal to country to anyway. But there's another band that has an album coming out July 8th called New World Order, and I got an advance copy. The band is Q5, and back in the 80s they had two albums, and even Great White covered one of their songs, Ain't No Way to Treat a Lady. And here they are 30-some years later, 31 years later, with this new album on Frontiers. And it is, and excuse the language, it's slamming. It's just fantastic.
What kind of language is that?
It's street cred language. No, it's an incredibly great album. And, you know, the band used to have Floyd Rose in it, the guy who invented the tremolo and all that stuff. And, you know, Steel Delight was the classic album from 1984. And out of the blue, 31 years later, here is New World Order, and... You're going to have to get it. It is just great. It's just great. It's just great, great, great hard rock.
And is there a new Thunder that you're talking about? Are we talking like you've gone back to Backstreet Symphony days? What's going on?
I have gone back to absolutely everything in their catalog. I've been listening to a different album every day, from The Magnificent Seven to Wonder Days to Backstreet Symphony to Laughing on Judgment Day to
great album.
Just absolutely everything. In fact, I'm going to admit this, but I've made 14 separate Thunder playlists.
Oh, wow.
So down the rabbit hole, the whole kit and caboodle. But between Thunder and Q5, it's just been a great, great month of June so far.
If you've got that amount of time, Mitch, I need you to come over here and alphabetize my CD collection.
I got way too much. No, listen, what happens a lot of the times with these playlists is I'll sit in front of the computer waiting to do an interview, and I usually come on, you know, 15, 20 minutes early in case a publicist wants to call. And so as I sit here, I'll just go, all right, let me just put this song in this playlist and that song after this song. And next thing you know, I've got 14 playlists made. But yeah, there you go. And
nice. Mark, what are you listening to?
Mark is listening to The Sound of Silence. It's a great, great album.
Sorry, had the mute key on there. I am listening to a record. I will just throw this out there quickly. It's called, the band is The Coral. The album is Distance in Between. It's not metal. It's not even hard rock. It's definitely solid, great, great rock and roll. If you're somebody just loves the sound of you know, true rock music, this it's what rock and roll should sound like, in my opinion. And again, The Coral, Distance in Between.
All right, my list. I love the new Volbeat album, Seal the Deal and Let's Boogie. I'd never really known the band was on Apple Music, and you know, so popped up in the What's New, and I added it along with a whole bunch of other stuff. And I don't know what made me hit it, but I hit play on it because I save a lot of stuff that I never hit play on, and it's just been on continuous spin here. I really love it. Volbeat, Seal the Deal and Let's Boogie. And by the way, great album title name as well. So there you have it. Cool. Well, this has been episode number 30 of Metal Raps. Please join us again super soon for episode number 31. My name is Mitch Joel. You can always find me at Mitch Joel on Twitter, if you're still on Twitter, if anybody's still on Twitter. And you can also check out my bass podcast, which is for bass players, but you don't have to be a bass player to love it, which is at notrouble.com/podcast. It's called Groove. Mitch, where can we find you?
Well, on Twitter.
Yeah, where else? Are people not on Twitter anymore?
it's just not the cool thing. Right now.
Oh, yeah, really? Okay.
We're all going to be on Snapchat soon.
Snapchat and Instagram, I think, is the way to go. But no, at Mitch Lafon, MitchLafon on Twitter, and one-on-one Mitch Lafon on Facebook. And tons of great interviews coming up, so keep listening.
Cool. Yeah, Mark? I'm at TalkingMetal.com. That's the best place. That's where the show is hosted, and I always suggest people go to listen to Talking Metal and Mitch's one-on-one with Mitch Lafon on the Talking Metal site, because you get extra bonus stuff like the show notes, pictures, links that you can support the show by using the links. So go check out TalkingMetal.com.
And that's a wrap for Metal Raps number 30.
Excellent.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.